Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our special Chodesh Iyar learning at the Young Israel of Woodmere. Let us begin. This year is prepared in honor of Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaAtzma'u, 5777, 69 years since the establishment of Medina Yisrael. I am dedicating this year the Ilui Nishmas, my husband's grandmother, Rivka Bas Menachem Mendel Halevi, Alaha HaShalom. Her first yahrzeit is actually tomorrow, the 5th of Iyar, as well as the Ilui Nishmas, my husband's grandfather, Simcha Moshe Ben Shlomo, Alav HaShalom. His 46th yahrzeit is on the 8th of Iyar. Tehei Zichron Baruch, may they be made its Yoshim for the entire family. 1,323 people have been killed by Palestinian violence and terrorism since September of 2000. 1,323 people since September of 2000. Rachmana Litzlan, Hashem Yimkom Damo. So I wanted to begin by, you know, just giving you a snapshot, really, of some of the victims. I thought that I would show you that there are mothers who are painting the doors of their home and who have adopted children, who are nurses like Daphna Meir. I thought that I would show you that there are rabbis who have dedicated themselves to Binyan Eretz Yisrael and Torah Eretz Yisrael, like Rabbi Mickey Mark. They are children like Halal Yaf Ariel, Daniel Turgeman, the last victim of Operation Tzuk Eitan almost 3 summers ago. They have been kidnapped and tortured like Nachshon Waxman. They have fallen in battle and never returned like Ron Arad, Hadar Golden, and Aron Shaul. They have been 19-year-old soldiers in the Be'er Sheva bathroom bus station like Omri Levy. I thought I would give you a snapshot of the victims. And then I went online onto the Israeli ministry website that lists, yes, you can go online and see all the victims, and I started to click and read their stories, and it was so overwhelming that I did not even know how to show you a snapshot. If the Gemara tells us that every person is a whole world, and everyone must say, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, how many worlds have been destroyed? I will just mention a couple of them. I cannot do justice to lives and lives and worlds and worlds. Yom HaZikaron, I saw an interview on Arut Sheva with Edna. Edna was the fiance of Hadar Golden, the call of Hadar Golden. And she said that Yom HaZikaron for them is no different than any other day of the year because they have Yom HaZikaron every single day of the year. It is really for people outside to look in and remember. We have to move away from politics as a people, and we have an obligation. The enemy does not differentiate. The Arman HaNetziv attack on the bus killed an Olah, his mind escapes me at this precise moment, an Olah from Russia, an Olah from America. He was a leftist. He believed in peace. They do not discriminate. They do not ask us our political hashkafa. They don't ask us our leaning, what color the kippah is if we don't wear a kippah at all. They don't ask us our age or our gender. The neighborhood that we live in, beyond the green line, over the green line. They don't ask us how many children we have, if we're married or single, if we're right or left, Haredi, Tzioni, or not Dati. They don't ask, so why do we ask ourselves what this person is? Why do we make something that should be about remembrance and mourning and paying tribute and amalek and remembering what they have done into something of politics? We must move away. Shalom Echad Bilvar Aman Aleinu L'chaloseinu. Ema Banim Smecha says, Rav Teitshal says, Shalom Echad Bilvar Aman Aleinu L'chaloseinu, that we are not one. This alone stands against us to destroy us. It is our lack of unity which stands against us to destroy us. Asaf Hershkowitz, 30 years old, of Ofra, May 1st, 2001. I remember this attack was killed when his vehicle was fired upon. It overturned at the junction between Ofra and Beit El. Asaf Hershkowitz was murdered in an ambush in the early morning. 25 spent shell casings were found in the vicinity of the shooting. It was carried out by 2 terrorists who fled into Palestinian-held territory. Asaf was married to Hila. He was the father of 2 children, aged 5 and 3. He was 30 years old. They met in kibbutz Maaleh Gilboa. They married 6 years ago. They moved to Ofra, where they made their home. In a tragic twist of fate, fate is what happens to us, explains our salvation, destiny is what we make of our fate. Asaf Hershkowitz was the eldest son of Aryeh Hershkowitz. Asaf was killed on May 1st. Aryeh, his father, was killed in a terror shooting on the exact same road on January 29th of the same year. Hilai recalled her late husband's efforts to support and assist his family since his father's death. He helped out fixing the house. He spent time with his little brother, Dor, acting as a big brother. He tried to support the whole family. It pains me so much to think, said Hila, what Dor must be going through now. Dor was 11 years old at the time of his father's murder and 3 months old. 3 months later, his brother's murder. Dor would recite Kaddish daily for his father, usually with Asaf, his older brother. Dor asked when he heard that his brother was murdered, how would he say Kaddish for two people now, his father and his brother, this child of 11. Asaf was laid to rest in Petach Tikva alongside the grave of his father. Shem Yinkom Damo, one more. February 11th, 2001. Tzachi Sassoon was 35. He was from Kibbutz Rosh Tzurim in Gush Etzion. He too was shot and killed as he drove home from Jerusalem, shot in the head through the car windshield. A Magen David Adam crew succeeded in transferring him to Hadassah Hospital, but Tzachi Sassoon died of his wounds. He left two children, age 4.5 and 7 years old. He was an electrical engineer driving home from work when he was killed. Sassoon's wife, Osnat, is a social worker. She deals, ironically, with victims of terror and the disabled. We knew it could happen to anybody, but we didn't talk about it, she said, and we hoped it would not happen to us. Tzachi Sassoon was buried in Jerusalem. The following is an excerpt from April 19th, 2017, in the J Post newspaper. When I say newspaper, that's not true. I mean, I think you call it online now. The parents of missing IDF soldier Lieutenant Hadar Golden will read a letter written by their son during his visit to Poland at the International March of the Living ceremony to be held in Auschwitz. This was written a week before March of the Living. I'm reading it to you a week after Yom HaShoah and March of the Living. A letter that Hadar Golden had written to his parents from Poland was read at March of the Living last week. His parents, Leah and Simcha, will be attending the annual ceremony on Yom HaShoah as part of the IDF delegation on the March of the Living. In the letter, which was released Wednesday prior to Yom HaShoah, Golden wrote to his parents. He was on a high school class trip to Poland. And he wrote he has the strength to go and be above and beyond for his country. And he wrote, I am sitting in a freight car in Poland, in the corner, he said. I don't know how many children like me and people similar and different to me passed through this freight car. And they were all Jews. They were torn from their homes, from their families, their parents, and their children. They did not know where they were being sent, where they were going. But I want to tell you, he wrote to his parents, because of you, I know where I am going. I am going to Medina Yisrael, my country and ours. And I understand, he wrote to his parents, thanks to you, what my country gives me, but mainly what I need to give of myself to the country. This is what Hadar Golden, who you should all be aware of his name, he was captured in Tzok Eitan almost 3 summers ago. His body is held by wicked Hamas, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram. Golden continues, when I look inward, I know I have the strength to go above and beyond. I need to be honest, fair, smart, and where there are no people, I need to be a man. This is a tremendous quote. What's he actually quoting from? Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos tells us, it's actually, we just read it on Shabbos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Vav, Hillel would say, "Ubamakom she'ein anashim," in a place where there are no men, "Hishtadel lihiot ish," "Hishtadel lihiot ish," you should strive to be a man. And Hadar wrote, I need to be honest, fair, and smart. Where there are no people, I need to be a man. And to be a human being, as you always say, with friends, at school, to succeed, be the best possible, to represent and defend my country and the IDF, and always with the tools you have given me. He thanks his parents for the support, and he continues, everything I see in Poland brings me back to you, to my grandmothers, to Tzur, Tzur is his twin brother, to Ayelet and Chami, and the thought that Tzur and I, and all of us, are the walking triumph of the Jewish people. A tremendous undertaking I am willing to take upon myself. And this is probably because from the second I was born to you, he wrote to his parents, you instilled this within me. Thanks to you. You know, very often fascinating piece, Gedolim leave a spiritual tzava. Not only do they leave a physical will to tell people what to do with their money, money comes and money goes. Al tira ki asher ish ki yirba kvod bezo ki lo b'moso yikach hakol. You know, on the way here, I was about six or seven cars behind the Aron of Rav Binyamin Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Haga'on, Hagadol, Talmud Chacham. How do I know? Because I received an earlier email from the Shtibel, congregation-based medrash, which he was the founder of, that said the Aron to the Levaya will be passing by here at 9:10. Please try and make an effort to come and show kavod achron, final kavod. I could not go based on my morning, taking my kids to school first, etc. But I happened to pass by the Shtibel at 9:17, and I saw all the people. I thought, Mika Amcha Yisrael, Guy Achad Ba'aretz, who had come to pay their last respects. And about eight cars ahead, I saw the flashing lights, and I understood what was going on. I said two capitals of Tehillim. Ashri Isha Shalom Alach Betzas V'Shaim V'Derech Hatim Lo Amar U'V'Mosh V'Leitzim Lo Yashav Ki Im B'Soras Hashem Chafso U'V'Soras Yaga Yaman V'Layla. So the Gedolim often leave a spiritual tzava, a spiritual will. What do I want to tell you? How should it be in Ruchnius? What is my last will and testament? Not with money. Money comes, money goes. Today it's here, tomorrow it's not. Today I have it, then I don't. Spiritual tzava. What's unbelievable about this letter that Hadar Golden wrote from Poland is his understanding at such a young age of his tafkid and his task, and how it speaks volumes to us about who he was after his death. On the second I was born, he wrote, you instilled this task within me, b'makom she'ein anashim, says Hillel. Hillel the kind, Hillel the compassionate, Hillel the understanding. Shammai was the strict. I'm going to get off the freight car now, he wrote. Like many Jews like me, but they walked their last journey and died for the sanctification of God, or survived sanctifying life. I walk out of here on the path they ordered me to grow from the dust. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos, it's on the top of your handout, I could not include everything I wanted to include because I wanted to keep it to two pages. But if you look at the top of your handout, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos, okay, Tanya Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai teaches, Shalosh Matanos Tovos Nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, gave to Israel three good presents. The Kula no Natnan Ela Al Yedei Yisurim. And you should know the only way to acquire these presents, to own these presents, is through Yisurim. We translate Yisurin as troubles, difficulty, struggle, hardship. And what are the three matanos tovos that we can only acquire through difficulty? Torah. You have to be amel in Torah. You think it's easy to acquire Torah? You got to work. You have to sweat. You have to put your whole kishka into acquiring Torah. But Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was only given according to Yisurin, the Olam Haba. Now the Gemara continues, and again, I couldn't give you the whole excerpt because I really wanted to keep it to two pages. Torah Minayim, so I'm going to tell you the rest of the Gemara, okay? The Gemara then quotes different psukim to prove that these three things are acquired only through Yisurin. Torah Minayim, Shanemar Ashriya, Gever Shorti Yasrenuka, Umitarascha Tilamdenu, for if anybody wants me to email them the rest of the Gemara that I could not include on this, I'll be happy to send it to you, okay? So if you don't get the psukim, just email me. Fortunate is the man who is chastised by God and learns from Torah. Oh, so Torah requires that God sometimes puts you through Yisurin. Eretz Yisrael, the pasuk is quoted from Sefer Devarim. Ki kasher yasar ish espino, Hashem elokechem yasracha. Just like a man chastises his son, sometimes a person has to give their son musar. And right after it says, Hashem elokechem aviyacha al eretz tova. First, the pasuk tells you, sometimes God needs to chastise you, needs to rebuke you, needs to give you some musar and yisurin. Then it tells you you're going into Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara learns out from there, the juxtaposition of the yisurin and going into Eretz Yisrael means Eretz Yisrael is only acquired through suffering, through pain, through tears. Olam Haba, how do you know Olam Haba is acquired only through suffering? Quoting a pasuk from Mishlei, Ki ner mitzvah v'torah ar, ner mitzvah, a mitzvah is a candle, Torah ar, Torah is light, and the pasuk actually continues, V'derech chayim tochachas musar, reproof, musar is the way of life. So if you want to acquire ner mitzvah v'torah ar, you should know the way of life is musar, so it's not going to be easy. So the Gemara is telling you, God has three wonderful presents presents to give you. Amazing presents. They will change your whole life. They are Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba. But it's not going to be easy. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shel Kol Nehi Abedvaro.
Amen.
The Salvatrix that Sal teaches, Lefum Tzara Agra. Lefum Tzara Agra actually is from right at the end of Pirkei Avos, Pirkei, chapter 5, Mishnah Chavav. Anyway, Pirkei Avos tells you, Lefum Tzara Agra. It means, according to the effort is the reward. The harder you work, the better the reward is going to be. So if Salvatrix says, God rewards a person according to his effort, or with the hardship he must contend with, to cope with. But it's not only this, says Rav Salvechik, it's not only about the reward. Rav Salvechik says a person loves and appreciates something in accordance with the hardship he has to undergo to acquire it. The more you work for something, the sweeter it's going to be. You know, we think, especially today's generation, everything should be given on a silver platter, and it'll be so wonderful to have everything for free, and it's really not true. The harder you work at something, the sweeter it is to you. The greater the hardship, says Rav Salvechik, the greater the commitment. The easier the person gets the thing, the quicker he'll leave it. You don't have attachment to it. It's not yours. You didn't put your kishkas into it. If it comes, you're happy. If it goes, you don't feel a loss. Why not? It's not. You never acquired it. Basically, says Rav Salvechik, Chazal said three grants have been bestowed upon the Jewish people. The kulam lo nasnu el al yedei yisurin. We saw the Gemara. The Jew has to acquire these gifts, Eretz Yisrael, Torah, and Olam Haba, through supreme effort, through suffering, through fighting for it. Why was it? It's a good question. Why? Why can't we just get it? So if Salvechik says the Ribbono Shel Olam does not want the Jew to suffer, it's in order to create an eternal bond. An eternal bond between spiritual values and the Jew. The Jew has to work, to wait, to experience pain, loneliness, desolation. Our nation knows a lot of pain, a lot of loneliness, and a lot of desolation. We see this, says Rav Salvechik, with Avram by the Bris Ben Absarim. The Bris Ben Absarim is the covenant between the pieces. So Rav Salvechik writes, as if, Kaviyachal, God were speaking to Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, you tell me you're not in love with Ur Kasdim. Even though Ur Kasdim, your father lived there, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, it was your real land. Was Ur Kasdim not your native land? Was it not your fatherland? But you left Ur Kasdim easily, without any compunctions, which means misgivings or doubts. You just picked up and you left Ur Kasdim, but you were born there. And your father was born there, and your grandfather was born there. Don't you feel a connection and attachment to the land? You took your Cain, you took Sarah and Lot, you took your cattle, and you left. And so you ask me, it's as if God, Kaviyachal, is speaking to Avram Avinu, why will you be inseparable from this new land? God appeared and he said to Abram at the age of 75, God said to him, it's Arzacha, it's your land, it's your birthplace, it's your father's home, you should pick up and go. So Avram Avinu is a question, Kaviyachal, for the Ribbono Shel Olam. If I left that land so easily, how do I know I will be attached to this new land forever? You ask, Avram Avinu asks. It's fascinating when we talk about Avram Avinu. We always say Avram Avinu didn't ask questions. I'm just trying to get a pen. We always say Avram Avinu didn't ask questions. Rav Salvechik, in fact, says that he asked questions, he would have lost his right to become the father of the Ume Yisraelis. No questions, says the Rav. Faith means not only to believe, but not to ask. Why is Hadar Golden's body not been returned? Why is Omri Levy, who was standing in the bathroom in Be'er Sheva, terrorist came in with a box cutter and cut his gun off, you know, from the strap across his chest and murdered him? Why? Rachel Shabbat was baking cake in her home with her children Thursday evening, Erev Shabbat, when they entered her home and killed her and her three children. Why? Faith means not only to believe, says the Rav, but not to ask. Had Avraham Avinu asked a simple question, he would have forfeited his right to become the father of the Ume Yisraelis. I'm quoting. A Jew accepts. Because what choice do we have? But Avraham Avinu actually did ask one question. And sometimes, and I'm in certain audiences, someone will say, but what about? And they're right. During the Brisbane Habsarim, and for your reference, it's Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Chas, chapter 15, verse 8 of Bereishis, Avram Avinu did say to God, but ma eda ki irashena. How do I know, with what do I know that I will inherit the land? So it's a major discussion amongst the commentators. Is Avram Avinu asking a question of God? God just told him, you will have offspring, they will inherit. And Avram Avinu says, how do I know I'm going to inherit? What do you mean, how do you know? I just told you, you're going to inherit. So now you're asking a question. So what was he really asking? Do you understand the question? I'm not trying to make a joke. I'm being serious. Okay. So Rav Soloveitchik explains, Avram Avinu's not asking, how do I know you, God, will give me something to inherit the land? He's asking a question about himself. I didn't inherit or cost him. I have no feelings of loyalty to this land and my father and my grandfather, the land I was born in. I have no problem leaving Arzucha, Moladcha, Mebeis Avicha. But my Eda, Kiirashana, how do I know I will inherit that? I'm not asking about you, God. You, of course, you could give me the land. You could do whatever you want. Okay, I have to wait 400 years, and the Gentiles are going to be here first, and the seven nations are going to have to conquer. I have to go through Gauls Mitzrayim. I understand. I'm not asking about you. Avram Avinu was asking about himself. I have no attachment to or custom. But my Eda, Kiirashana, how do I know I'm going to be attached to the land of Israel? The answer is, so by the way, it's a big question on Avraham Avinu's life, but it's a beautiful way of understanding. Avraham Avinu's not challenging God. He's wondering about Avraham Avinu. The answer is because your acquisition of Eretz Yisrael will follow a different course, says Hashem, so to speak, than your relationship with Ur Kasdim. But my Eda, how deep will my involvement be with this new land? Avraham Avinu says, I know from experience. I don't have a connection to a land. Soloveitchik says he wasn't dedicated to Ur Kasdim, in spite of the fact that it was his ancestral home, his homeland, his birthplace, his fatherland. So he left Ur Kasdim. So Avraham Avinu says, now you're telling me I'm going to be exiled from the land. Geri Ezaracha Beretz Lolam, Vavadu Ve'inu Osam Arba Me'el Shana. So you want me to inherit the land, and now I'm going into exile. So how do I know, by the time the exile is over, Arba Me'el Shana, I'm going to have a connection? Am I going to want to come back here? Are my children going to say, oh, remember there was a land? Do you understand? So I'll forget the land, says Avraham Avinu, so to speak. 10 years, 20 years, he argued, Kaviyachal with the Ribbono Shel Olam. How can you tell me I'll always remember the land? How can you tell me I'll be inseparable from such a land? So the Ribbono Shel Olam answered him. And the Ribbono Shel Olam said, Yadoa Teda, Ki Geri Yazarecha Beris Lolam. Why double lashon Yadoa Teda? You will love the land. A double lashon, says the Rav, it's emphasis. Emphasis. You have doubts about your involvement, your attachment to this land of Avraham Avinu, Bema Eda. You ask, how can I be so deeply involved? Yadoa Teda, it's not just Yadoa, you should know. It's not just Teda, you should know. It's you shall surely know. No, you shall know. I can assure you, Avram, writes Rav Soloveitchik, no one in the world will take the land away from you. Otherwise, Yadoa Teda makes no sense. You'll be so committed to the land. Yes, even after 400 years. Even after 500 years, even after 2,000 years, why will you be so deeply involved with the land? You'll be dedicated, committed. You know why? Shalosh matanos tovos nasan kadosh baruch hu yisrael v'kulam lo nasnu ela al yedei yisrael. Because you're going to have to sweat it out for the land. You're going to have to work for the land. And what is the Gemara teaching us? And what does Chazal teach us? Suflim Tzara Agra, the harder you work for something, the more you're attached to that thing. You won't get the land immediately, continues Rav Soloveitchik. I won't give it to you right away. I won't tell the Keni, the Kmizi, Kadmoni, just move away. Oh no. 400 years. Yadoa Teda. You're going to have to wait a long, long time for this land. And before you get the land, you're not going to get it in luxury. And you're not going to live waiting in luxury. Yadoa Teda ki ger yezarecha. You won't live in luxury. I'm quoting Soloveitchik now. You won't be a free people until the grant is finalized. Ger yezarecha be'eretz lo lahem. You'll be in a foreign land. You'll be strangers. Va'avadum. You'll be slaves. Ve'inu losam. Tortured. Ill-treated. Arba me'oshan. I was speaking to somebody who was in Venice over Pesach. fascinating. I was just fascinated by the whole idea of being in Venice. I said, you know, like when you come out, what's there? He said, there's a small sidewalk and then there's water. I said, you know, is there rush hour? Like here we have rush hour. He said, yes, you could sometimes need to wait for the boat, just like you need to sometimes wait in traffic. You have to wait for the city bus. You have to wait for the boat. Found it unbelievable. He said you could walk through the whole city, taking a vicarious trip through Venice through my husband's friend. You could take a whole trip through the city because everything's connected by bridges. Thought it was unbelievable. But he told me there are four different shows in Venice, 500 to 600 years old. And one of the shows, 600 years old, that they went to, so there's Jewish history there. I said, why did the Jews come here? Because of persecution? He said, no, because of commerce. It was good for business. But in one of the shows, there's an underground passage. Like in the floor, there's an escape hatch. Why is there an escape hatch? Well, why do you think Jews need an escape hatch in their show? Because when the Goyim come in to kill us in the middle of prayer, are we in Harnof 2015? Are we in Venice 600 years ago? Because when they come to kill us, we're in the middle of prayer, we need somewhere to run out to. So the escape hatch would take them underground to the back street so they could run away. So if Salvechik says, Inuosim, tortured, ill-treated, Arba Meoshana, listen to the words of the Rav. I'm going to try not to interrupt him. And throughout that period, that dark night of Galus, you'll have one dream, one vision, one aspiration, one hope. What will be that hope? To come back to the land. L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim. And after you come back to Eretz Yisrael, Kaviyachal Ribbono Shalom says to Avraham Avinu, I assure you, you'll be so deeply in love with the land. Kulam lo nasnu el al yidei Yisurin. There'll be an eternal love, not just a friendship affair. That's why we emphasize this in the Haggadah, says Rav Salavitch. We speak about this in the Haggadah. V'achshav kirvanu ha-makom. Now God brought us close. You know very well, continues Rav Salavitch, after you lose so many boys defending the land, lefum tzar agra, you don't leave. You know what ties a person to the land, says the Rav, a grave, more than anything else. Yadoa, you want to know how much you'll be involved with the land of Avraham Avinu? You will experience Jewish destiny. Yadoa teida, you'll never be separated. You'll always come back. And there's no power in the world that will be able to take you away from this land. What an unbelievably powerful passage. Who here cannot relate to this? Miriam Peretz reflects. Miriam Peretz lost her son Eliraz. She lost her son Uriel in 1998. I speak about her very often in the north, battle with Hezbollah, and she lost her son Eliraz in 2010 in the south in battle with Hamas. I spoke yesterday afternoon in Woodmere, so one of my 11-year-old boys came with me. It was a big schuss to have him. I don't often get to have my children with me. So after, he said, you did very well. It's very cute, can I not? So I said, thank you. It was a different shiur. But I did speak about remembrance and living Kiddush Hashem. I tied it into Yom HaShoah, Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaTzmut. So he says, but I didn't like the stories. It wasn't a deep intellectual shiur that he couldn't understand. He says, I didn't like the stories. I said, why didn't you like the stories? He says, they were very sad. So I said, it's true. I said, but do you understand that it was a hopeful shiur? We were speaking of the triumph of the Jewish people. And I said, you know, just because something's very sad, we have to still talk about it. Miriam Peretz reflects, in my imagination, I picture my two sons standing beside their father. You have to understand, Uriel died in 1998. He was 22. In between, her husband Eliraz died at the age of 50, Eliezer. At the age of 56, she says, of a broken heart. But she says, God spared Eliezer. He took him before Eliraz was murdered. And then Eliraz, the father of four young children, was killed in 2010. In my imagination, I picture my two sons standing beside their father, their grandmothers and grandfathers. I feel they are well protected. My sons are not alone. But the first rain brings endless weeping. I think maybe they're cold. Maybe they're wet. The hot winds of the Chamsin brings tears. But I think perhaps they're in a better place than I am. I'm in a place of suffering. The Fun Tzara Agra. My soul is being battered. I wake up with a struggle each morning for life. They're in a place, however, that is only good. I have no doubt about that. Miriam continues, I talk to them. I shout at them. I invite them to come to me. And they do. I hear Eli Raz saying, Mom, Ima, keep going. It's okay. Sometimes he says, I prepared Shlomit. Shlomit was his young widow. She'll know how to bring up the kids. She'll keep going. I love you so much, Mom, Ima. I see Uriel with his big glasses, white teeth, giant smile. And he says to me, what's the fuss about, Ima? What we did, what you taught us to do, to be faithful to our path, to march in front. I'm here, Ima, taking care of Eli Raz. I'm sorry, Eliezer, I say to my husband. I didn't do enough to memorialize you because I dedicate myself fully to the boys. I want to invite them to me over and over again. But I have pangs of consciousness. Maybe I'm disturbing their rest. Maybe I'm bothering them. Days pass. They step back. They move away from me in body, but not in spirit. With every day that begins and ends, the distance in time grows. But the spiritual distance grows shorter. They're up in heaven. Almost half of my family, writes Miriam, is up there in God's commando unit. And I'm down here. Stretched between us is a thread of love, longing, memories, prayer, and everything they left in our hearts. Sometimes I look down at my sidur that is already wet with tears, and I can't understand how that sidur is still in one piece. I read the pasuk from Eov, sparks fly upward. I think about the Peretz family who flew upward before their time. I lift my eyes to the ceiling of the Beit Knesset that Eliezer built in memory of her son before Eliezer died. I can see the heavens above. I pray that my quiet voice will penetrate the thick cement walls. It will fly upward. It will reach that place because there is an Eden. I know it. You know what ties a person to the land, teaches the Rav? A grave. More than anything else, Yadoa, you want to know how much you'll be involved with the land of Avraham Avinu. After you experience Jewish destiny, Yadoa Teda, you'll be involved. You'll never be separated. You'll always come back, and there's no power in the world which can take you away from this land. V'Yoshua ben Nun v'Kalev ben Yefuna min HaTorim Esaretz Karu B'Deim. And there were two of the Meraglim who tore their clothing, Kalev and Yoshua. V'Yamru HaKal Adas ben Yisrael Leimor, and they declared to the entire congregation of Israel, HaAretz Asher Avarnu Bah, the land Avar, Aver, we crossed the Jordan, Latur Oso, to scout it out. Tova HaAretz, Me'od Me'od. It's such a good, good land. Again, Tovar, it's Me'od Me'od, Yodoa Teidam, Me'od Me'od, Dabal Ashon. Im Chafetz Banu Hashem, if God desires us and He's on our side. Ve'evio Sanu El Aretz Azos. He will bring us to this land. He will give it to us. Aretz Asher Hizavas Chalav Gudvash. It's a land of bounty, a land of milk and honey, a land of brachos and blessings. But do not rebel against God. Do not fear the people of the land. They are our bread. They are our bread. Eliraz Peretz. Eliraz worked in agriculture because he loved this land, writes his mother. At Uriel's funeral, his younger siblings picked up clods of earth and they hurled them. They hurled them to the ground. It was very painful for Eliraz to watch his siblings take the ground of Eretz Yisrael and throw it down in pain and anger. So after the shiva was over, the first thing Eliraz did, he took his brothers and his sisters to the wadi behind our home, and he took them and he planted trees with them. And he told them, the land that took our brother Uriel is a good land, is a fertile land. And Yeshua and Kalev tore their clothing. Do not rebel against God. If He desires us, if we are with Him and He is with us, Tova Arts Ma'od Ma'od, we can do it. We can go up, we can conquer. Every time I look at the wadi and I see those trees, I know how old they are. They are as old as the years that Uriel is gone. And when Shlomit finished sitting shiva for her Eli Raz, and she returned to her home in Eli, the first thing she did with her little orphan children was to plant trees in the yard, because she told her children, that took their father and took their uncle, that this land is precious, It is beloved. It is a fertile and good land. What's the Rechush Gadol? We left with money, the silver and gold, with reparations from the Egyptians. That's the Rechush Gadol. Maybe we can say, based on our learning today, that the Rechush Gadol that comes after 400 years of Shibud, after 2,000 years of pain and running down hatches in Venice, maybe we could say the Rechush Gadol is the spiritual inheritance bestowed upon Avraham Avinu. And what's the spiritual inheritance? It's a good, good land. And it's true, it comes with Yisurin, but we desire the land. We want the land. We love the land. We're attached to the land. My son yesterday, the same son I was walking with, asked me if we could make aliyah. So I said, I don't know. I have no excuse. So he said, fine, then I'm just going to go myself. Tova Eretz Me'od Me'od. The Pasuk, actually it's coming up to Parshas Achrimos. I couldn't put it on your hand though for you. Okay, so Parshas Achrimot tells us much about, it's coming up to this week's Parsha actually, sexual immorality, relationships that are usher from the Torah. And after it tells us about relationships that are usher, the Pasuk says, Al titamu b'chol eilach. Do not make yourself impure with all of these things, because through all of these things, nita'amu ha'goyim asher ani mishalech mipnechem. With all of these forbidden things, the nations that dwelled in this land made themselves impure. But titama ha'aretz. The land itself becomes impure from these forbidden arayos. Ba'efkor avana alaha bataki ha'aretz esyoshveh. The sins will be counted, and the land will spit out its inhabitants, will throw up its inhabitants, will gorge out, will vomit its inhabitants. Person eats food that's spoiled, their stomach can't handle it, so they throw up. Something happens in Eretz Yisrael that it's not like other lands. It can't handle impurity. It will literally spit out the people that can't handle an impurity. Below Saki Ha'aretz Aschem, says the Pasuk, don't do those to'evos. Don't do those disgusting things. So the land should not spit you out like it spit out the nations who came before you. For your own reference, this is Vayikra, Perek Yud Ches, chapter 18, Pasuk Chaf Dalet through Chaf Ches. It's Vayikra 18, 24 through 28, Parshas Achrimos, towards the end of the Parsha. So after telling me everything that's forbidden, the Pasuk says, you're going to Eretz Yisrael. And if you do these things, the land is going to throw you out. It's going to throw up. It can't handle impurity. Let's hear Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch says, it's on your handout, please. Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch, usually I don't give you Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch, I just read it out loud to you, but it's so moving and impactful. Keep in mind that he wrote this, it's on the top of page one. Germany in the 1800s. From the time that Avraham Avinu was chosen, I'm on the top of your handout on page one. Oivates, 10-12, we're on the top of page one. Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch writes, from the time Avraham Avinu was chosen, and the land was chosen for him, the land of Israel has not tolerated the corruption of its inhabitants, the flowering of the land. Will the land blossom and bloom? Will the land be successful and healthy? Will the land thrive and grow? That depends not on the land, but on the moral flowering of its inhabitants. So the land actually depends upon the health of the people who are born on it, nourished by its fruit and enriched with its treasures. All that stirs in the bosom of the land, all that is produced by the earth. Look how beautiful, how poetic. All that moves in the field, all that drinks of the dew and rain, all that lives and matures in the sunlight of the land is sacred to God's Torah. It's unbelievable. The whole land depends on Torah Yisrael and Am Yisrael. That's what Rav Hirsch is saying. Well, that's at the Pasuk, how he's explaining these psukim. It is for the fulfillment of God's will by men of purity. It is for the fulfillment of God's will by men of purity. You have to be a Tahor people and fulfill Ratzon Hashem in order that each seedling grows, each flower blooms, the sun shines, the dew produces moisture. The land is the bearer of national destiny that is exemplary in moral purity. If you don't want Eretz Yisrael to spit you out, You have to be a morally pure people. In man's perfection and moral freedom, the land finds perfection. You understand? Right, so it's not like other lands. The land literally depends upon the people. The health and behavior and morality of the people affect the status of the land. If the society in the land, says Rav Shalom Shamval, her second paragraph, subverts through corruption the purpose of the existence, the land loses the reason for its existence. If the people lose Ratzon Hashem and Darach Hashem, if the people become defiled and act in the way of the nations who came before them, the land loses reason for its existence, and a population that is socially and morally corrupt has no future in the land. Very scary. The forces of the soil, of the land, of God are to vitalize and sustain the people living upon it. Yet with these forces, what happens if man sins? God gives us the forces and the land, but if we sin and violate the Torah, if we exploit the land through immoral excesses, through the tumah of the inhabitants, the land becomes tameh. Their sin is its sin. Eretz Yisrael is not pashut earth. It is a living land that we either imbue with tumah chalila v'chas, or we imbue with tahara. And if we imbue it with tahara based on our actions, we can live there. And if, God forbid, we are immoral and corrupt, the land cannot tolerate. Just like we can't handle spoiled food. The land literally can't tolerate this. But Rav Shem Shemfal Hirsch writes, as long as the sin is confined to individuals, if the nation as a whole is loyal to Torah, then those individuals who sin are eliminated. But if the sin and transgression becomes the rule rather than the exception, you understand? If it's a few individuals, so the land tolerates because the nation as a whole is good and tahor and goes with Derech Hashem. But once it becomes a national transgression, when society is antithetical to God's Torah, then what happens? The land will reject them. Even as any organism will reject an element that has become incompatible with it. Last line of Rav Shem Shavosh. Just like an organism rejects something incompatible with it. Just like if you put, I don't know, I just saw they once tried a few years ago to put a baboon liver into a human being. And the human being rejected it. It didn't work. You can't put an organism into something incompatible, or it'll be rejected. You can't put immorality into Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael will reject it. The land will vomit out its inhabitants. So the health, the well-being, the status, the kedusha, the purity of Eretz Yisrael depends on the status, health, well-being, morality, and purity of Am Yisrael upon the land. It's tremendous, all. Tremendous responsibility. Lefum tzara agra. But the harder you work, the greater the reward. And now I gave you a very lengthy excerpt, which is so not like me, but I think that it's very important that we all see this Ramban inside. And by the way, you can see how long it is. It takes up the bottom of page one. Almost the entire page two. I cut out a lot of the Ramban. That's how long this Ramban is. I cut out a lot. If you can, I would like you to follow along with me. It is very moving, very important. Vatitama ha'aretz, the land will become defiled. Va'efkod avona alev vataki ha'aretz, its sins will be counted, and she will spit out the people. Okay? The Ramban is talking about the same passages that we just saw the comments of Rav Shem Shafal Hirsch. You're welcome to go home and look at the psukim for yourself. Okay, ready? I'm going to read the Ramban with you. Please look inside with me, and I'm going to translate everything. Hachmir kasu ba'arayos, the chamur. Machmir. The Torah was strict with arayos. I'm not going to translate every time I come to the word arayos. Arayos is sexual immorality and forbidden relationships and impurity. But avur ha'aretz, because of the land, shall titame bahan. The land will become defiled. Vitaki ha'nafshos ha'osos. The land will vomit out those who are engaged in arayos. Now the Ramban asks a question. He asks a short question and launches into an extremely lengthy answer. V'hine arayos chovas haguf. Arayos is a chova, is an obligation of one's physical body. What does it have to do with Eretz Yisrael? You understand the question?
Yes.
So tell me there's a different punishment for arayos. I don't know. Tell me the person, chalila v'chas, is going to lose his life. It's a physical affliction. Chovat haguf. What does it have to do with the land? The ein taluyos ba'aretz. It's It's not Shemitah. Tell me you don't keep Shemitah, you're going to be kicked out of land, which in fact we come to in Bechukosai. Tell me you don't do Chumas and Maishos. Tell me you're not Ola Larega. Tell me you're not involved in Mitzvahs or Tlios Ba'arts, so the land will spit you out. But don't tell me if I do Gilead Arayos, the land's going to spit me out. What does my body have to do with the land? You understand? Yes or no? It's a very strong question. Short question with a very lengthy answer. Aval sod hadavar bekasuv. So there's a secret. I'm in paragraph 2 of the Ramban. I'm still on page 1. The pasuk says in Devarim Azinu, Bahanchal Elyon Goyim, God gave nations their inheritance. He separated between man. He set the borders for nations. Kicheda kashem amo. The portion of God is his people. The ha'inyan ki Hashem hanichbad bara hakol. God created everything. V'sam koach ha'tachtonim be'elyonim. You should know, the lower realms are under the control of the upper realms. Okay? What goes on down here is under the jurisdiction of the elyonim. What goes on up there? V'nasan al-kol am. I'm on 1, 2, 3, 4. If you're not with me, I'm on line 5 from the top of the Ramban. Third line in the second paragraph. V'nasan al-kol am v'am ba'artzoteim v'goyim kochav u'mazal yadua. Every nation in every land has a star or a constellation that rules over them. Okay? Well, I don't want to get into astrology. I don't know about astrology, but the Ramban tells you that every land, Arzot HaBrit, the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Europe, South America, Alaska, they have a kochav u'mazal kasher noda b'itztagninuyos. Astrology knows that every land has a power, a ruler, heavenly ruler, heavenly force that rules over this land. You understand so far? Every land, every tachton is ruled by the Elyon, and the Elyon is some sort of heavenly power that rules over the land. V'zeu shenemar shalchalak Hashem elokach ha'osam l'kol ha'goyim. Ki chelak l'kulam mazalot b'shamayim. Every portion, every land has heavenly mazalos. How would you translate mazalos? Mazal doesn't mean luck. Power, heavenly power. V'gvohim aleihem. This heavenly power rules over the land, and there are malachei elyon natnam liosim sarim aleihem. There are heavenly angels. They rule over the United States. There are heavenly angels in charge of Canada. There are heavenly angels in charge of Australia. It's exactly what the Ramban is telling you. There are heavenly powers in charge of Australia. Good? Clear? V'hinei Hashem enichbad hu alokei alokim v'adonei adonim. And behold, God is the God of gods and the master of masters, the chol ha'olam. Last line on the first page. Aval Eretz Yisrael. But regard to Eretz Yisrael, do you think Eretz Yisrael has a kochav and a mozal? Do you think it has a different angel? It's emtza'ut ha'yishuvhi. It is the emtza'ut. It is the middle point. It is the main point of the yeshuv. Nachat Hashem yuchadat l'shmo. I add an exclamation mark. It is the portion of God special for his name. Eretz Yisrael is not like all the other lands. Eretz Yisrael is special. Middle of the last line, page 1. Lo natan aleha min hamlachim. Katzin shoter u'moshel. God did not appoint over the land of Israel a captain, ruler, or officer like the other lands have. So right away, we're coming to a big difference. Shem Shem Fal Hirsch already explained why the land will spit us out, and the Ramban is adding something tremendous here. The Ramban is telling you that every land has a ruler, a heavenly angel who rules over it, but not Eretz Yisrael. V'zeu she'amar, middle of top, first line, top of page 2. V'yisem li segula mikol ha'amim. God said by Matan Torah, you will be for me treasured from all the people. Ki li kol ha'aretz. God said, the whole land is mine. The pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, "V'yisam li la'am v'anochi aheya lacham la'lokim." You will be for me a nation. I'll be for you a God. Lo shetei itam al alokim acherim klal. You will not be under the jurisdiction of other gods at all. When we say other gods, we don't mean other gods. Chalila v'chas. There are no other gods. You will not have other rulers over you. Ramban is explaining. If you live in Canada, if you live in the United States, if you live in Australia, you are under the jurisdiction, so to speak, of the heavenly angel of Australia, of the heavenly angel of the United States. Not so in Eretz Yisrael. Third line, top of page 2. V'hine kiddush ha'am ha'yoshe b'artzo b'kedushas ha'arayos. And therefore, for the people dwelling in the land, he forbid them to be involved in arayos. Berove ha'mitzvos liosam lishmo. We have so many mitzvos dedicated to his name. Therefore, the pasuk says, "Ushmartem es kol chukasei ves kol mishpatei vasisem osam." Guard my chukim and my mishpatim to do them. Velo taki aschem haaretz. Therefore, if you guard the mitzvos, the land will not spit you out. The flip side is, if you don't do the mitzvos, the land will spit you out. He concludes that paragraph with saying that the other countries have these other powers ruling over them, but not Eretz Yisrael. Last line of first paragraph on page 2. Last line, first paragraph, page 2. V'hinei ha'aretzi nachas Hashem enichbad taki kol mitamei osa. The land that is the portion, the inheritance of God, will spit out anyone who defiles it. V'lo tisbal avdei v'dazar u'megalim arayos. They will not be able to handle idol worshippers or people who do Gilui HaRayos. So it's true, Gilui HaRayos is chovat haguf and not mitzvah tliya ba'aretz. But nevertheless, it's under the direct jurisdiction of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Ribbono Shel Olam's direct jurisdiction, he can't handle that. You know, maybe you could behave a certain way in the kingdom, in province, I don't know, 29 of the kingdom of Achashverosh. But if you're in the palace, you're going to behave a little bit differently. Why? Because what's allowed in that place is not allowed in the palace of the king. So maybe what can be tolerated in Canada is different. Canada's not going to spit out the inhabitants. It's under a sar mazel kochav. But in Eretz Yisrael, you're in the palace of the king. You can't do these things. V'hinei b'chutz al ha'aretz, af al pisha kol ha'shem ha'nichbad. Don't worry, he says. Everything in chutz la'aretz is for the sake of the Almighty. Ein ha'tahara bo shlema. The purity is not complete, but avur ha'misharsim ha'shmoshlim alech. Because of those heavenly ministers who rule over those lands. Va'amim tolim acharei sarem la'avod gamosam. And therefore, the nations stray after their ways because they have these ministers out there. Is it clear what we're talking about? Ki hakol, third paragraph on page 2. Ki hakol mi'ito yisparach. Everything is from God. V'hinei Hashem ha'nichbad yisparach elokei elokim b'chutz aretz. In Eretz Yisrael, God is the God of those other ministers. B'chutz aretz v'elokei Eretz Yisrael shinachas Hashem. But in Eretz Yisrael, there's no intermediary. There's no third party. So in America, it's us, then the ruling minister of this land, then God above the ruling minister. We're not saying God doesn't rule. God forbid. God rules, but he puts a minister in charge. But Eretz Yisrael, it's the land, the people, and God. And there's no in-between. Eretz Yisrael eina kishar artzos, eina mekayemes oveira, doesn't hold up people who commit sins. One second. Third paragraph, fourth line. Go to the third paragraph, fourth line, please. After the three dots. V'hu ma'amram, and this is what the sages say, kol adar b'chutz la'aretz, anyone who lives outside of Israel, dome kamisha ein lo eloha. It's as if you don't have a God. How could they say that? Now we understand. In Eretz Yisrael, you're right under the jurisdiction of the Almighty. But in chutz la'aretz, you're under the jurisdiction of the ruling heavenly body. So if you live in chutz la'aretz, say the sages, it's as if you don't have the God. Kozman sha'atem ba'aretz kanana yisalacham la'alokim. All the time that you are in the land of Canaan, I'll be for your God. When you're not in Canaan, kaviyachal, it's as if I'm not your God. Nevertheless, next paragraph. When you are exiled, you should be excellent in mitzvos. Have mitzuyan b'mitzvos. You should be excellent in mitzvos. Very famous Ma'amar Chazal. You know why you should be so careful in the mitzvos, say Chazal? K'shetichzaru lo yu'alechem chadashim. So when you come back to the land, you should be familiar. You know, you didn't do all these mitzvos for all these years or generations or centuries, so you're going to come back to it, so you're not going to know what you're doing. So you should keep up with the mitzvos in chutz la'aretz, but that when you come back to Eretz Yisrael, They're familiar to you. You should know what you're doing. A mashal to a master who became angry with his wife. He sends her to his father's house, back to her father's house. But he tells her, she's like a princess, keep dressing yourself up nicely in your jewelry. So when you come back to the palace, they're going to know what you're doing here. Okay? Your miau says, put up signs, be excel in the mitzvahs, even when you go into galus. 1 second. In the fifth paragraph, the Ramban says, "Ki ikur kol hamitzvos liyoshvim be'aretz Hashem." Ikur kol hamitzvos liyoshvim be'aretz Hashem. The ikur of all the mitzvos is for he who dwells in the Holy Land. And therefore, says the Ramban, last line of paragraph 5, "Yeshivas eretz Yisrael shakula keneged kol hamitzvos shabbatorah." Dwelling in the Holy Land is equal to all the mitzvos and the Torah. He ends with a fascinating piece, which I gave you because I consider it an unbelievable pshat, as to why Rachel Imenu died when they were going back into Eretz Yisrael. Why did Rachel die? Because there's a prohibition against marrying two sister wives. As long as Yaakov Avinu, the Ramban explains, was in Chutz La'aretz, he wasn't over. But once he was coming into Eretz Yisrael, he couldn't be with two sister wives because it's forbidden. Because the land of Israel does not tolerate certain things that Chutz La'aretz tolerates. Fascinating, pshah. Therefore, Rachel Imenu died. Why is she the one that died? Because she was the one who was married. Second, she was the forbidden wife. Leah was mutter. Leah was married first. And that's what the Ramban says. And it's fascinating. He says, the last line that I gave you is, she conceived Binyamin before they entered the land. And Yaakov Avinu did not touch her in Eretz Yisrael at all because of this Indian. That's what the Ramban says. Yaakov Avinu was not intimate with Rachel at all once they entered Eretz Yisrael. And she had to die. Why? She was a forbidden wife because she was the second wife. And Eretz Yisrael does not tolerate any form of forbidden relationships. Unbelievable. So that's the Ramban. It's a big Ramban. I saw Vaitrek one year in 1979. They asked him some questions about Medina Yisrael. We don't have time to go into it. Yom HaTzmut. They asked him about the Ramban. He says, don't scare me with that Ramban. I knew that Ramban before you were born. You have to, please don't walk away from here. Chalila v'chas. Anyone should get the impression that I am endorsing not doing Torah mitzvos, chesed and tefillah and chutz la'aretz. I don't mean that. That's not the halacha. That's not correct. But this is a very, very important hashkafic piece of the Ramban that we should all be aware of and we should all keep in mind. And he brings up some very important points called Dar B'chutzaretz, Ki'in Lo Ein Lo Aloha. Ikur Chiyav HaMitzvos is Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael, is Eretz Yisrael. And Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael, Shkula Kenega Kol HaMitzvos B'Torah. Here there is an intermediary, so to speak. There is a sar and a mazal over us. In Eretz Yisrael, it is not so. I'm going to end with an insight on one pasuk. Me, it's on your handout. The pasuk tells us in Yeshayahu, Mi ela ka'av tu ufena, v'kayonim el arubosayim. Who are these that fly like clouds, like doves to their nest? This is what the Navi tells us. So, standing in Auschwitz, a participant of March of the Living 2016, on the very ground where his family and millions of Kedoshim were murdered, Rav Yisrael Meir Lau explained this verse according to the teachings of Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kok. If I could just find my page, then I'll be good to go. My paper's gone. Don't leave, I found it. So he explained this teaching according to Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kok, this pasuk. Last, you have it on your handout, it's the very last pasuk on page 2. There are those that fly like clouds, and there are those that fly like doves. What's the difference? So I'll tell you what I did. I went online. You can Google Rabbi Lau's speech, March of the Living 2016, and you too can see him saying this. And I paused the screen to actually write down. I wanted to share with you the way Rabbi Lau gave it over. Not in my own words, Rabbi Lau says it. The prophet Isaiah, he's speaking of March of the Living in English, had a vision of the ingathering of exiles, says Rabbi Lau. He gives a comparison to two items. Mi ela ka'avtu, fenev kayonim ela ruboseim. I'm quoting Rav Lau. Who are these that fly along like clouds, like dove to their nests? Two ideas, says Rabbi Lau, of the ingatherings of the exile. Why two ideas? Why clouds and doves? Jews come to Eretz Yisrael, the promised homeland, which becomes new in our hands. By the way, I forgot to say the title of the shir. It's Eretz Yisrael, our old new land. I think it's an appropriate title for today's shir. Rav Lau says, You come to the promised homeland, which becomes new in our hands. And Jews are compared to a dove and a cloud. Rabbi Cook explained a huge difference between a dove and a cloud. And I'm quoting with Lau. A cloud has no emotions, no wisdom, no heart, no brain, no incentive. A cloud will not move without the wind pushing it. On the contrary, says Rav Lau, the dove doesn't wait for the winds to push him. Her eggs, her children. I see, said Isaiah the prophet, according to Rabbi Cook, two types of immigrants to Israel. Those who come like the cloud, they are pushed by the winds of anti-Semitism, by the Inquisition, by the Holocaust. And there are those people who will come home like doves to their home, with homesick, with understanding. This is my home. They don't wait for the strong winds to push them. But that was explaining, based on Rav Kook, there are two ways to come back to Eretz Yisrael. There are those who come like the cloud. If you look at the clouds on the windy day, they're moving. Rav Lau says the cloud has no motion. It has no heart. It's not a living organism. It's not breathing. It doesn't have feelings. It doesn't have instinct. It has nothing. It just moves when it's pushed. Rav Lau said, we too are sometimes pushed by the Inquisition, by persecution. We're pushed. And then there are Jews, says Rabbi Lau, who come like the dove. The dove's not pushed. The dove flies on its own. With homesickness, says Rabbi Lau. With understanding. This is my home. The dove wants to go back to her nest. Dear friend, said Rabbi Lau, I came to Israel among the first new Olim to Eretz Yisrael, straight after World War II, in July 1945. I came to Israel like a cloud, pushed by the storm winds of the Holocaust. I tell you the truth with my hand on my arm. Maybe without the Holocaust, said Rabbi Lau, I would today maybe be a rabbi in a shtetl here in Poland. I spoke a beautiful Polish, nothing but Polish. My father was a rav here, 37 generations before me, a dynasty of rabbis. But the storm winds destroyed my home, murdered my parents, pushed me to a new old homeland, Eretz Yisrael. You have the privilege to arrive back home like doves, flying to her nest, knowing, said Rabbi Lau, this is our place. We have no other place, no other country, no other state, no other homeland, no other feeling of a home, but habayit shalanu habayta. And he finished by quoting some psukim from Tehillim, which he did not translate. Yasar yisrani ka, v'lamavis lo nisanani, ki chelatzta nafshi mimaves, et eini mindima, et ragli midachi, ataleich lifnei Adonai ba'artzot hachayim. This is my desire, this is my wish, this is my promise, what I want you to feel together with me, ataleich lefnei Hashem ba'artzot hachayim, eretz medinat Yisrael. We should be zocha to have the courage, to have fortitude, to put aside politics, to remember the kedoshim who gave their lives, the graves that tie us to the land. We should find within ourselves the courage to be the people Eretz Yisrael demands that we be, and to somehow fly home like doves to her nest. Amen. 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 Thank you, ladies. Thank you.